Thank you, Larry. Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to Second Baptist Church, however you may be joining us. For those of you on the other side of the interwebs, we're grateful for your presence as well. I'd like to welcome my mom here and say thanks to her for giving life to me and others. And she'll greet you all with a very long-distance hug. Want to acknowledge the passing of our late dear friend and pastor, Hardy Clemons, as many of you all know, passed through the veil of this life and through into the mystery of complete and divine love. And I'm sure much will be said about him as we move forward as a community, and we will shape space to honor him and his family and the legacy of God's just divine presence within his life. And we'll do that as a community as we go forward. I do recognize that, you know, what a tremendous influence he may have played in many of your lives, and also recognize that maybe you didn't know Hardy very well, and that's okay. Together we can all give thanks. As I am learning about him, he reminds me simply of Psalm 1, which says, a one who is like a great tree planted by the river, whose roots dig down deep and are fed in the deepest ways. And that is one image that reminds me of the Hardy who I'm learning and getting to know. So for Hardy and for his daughter and for his bride as well, we give thanks to God. I invite you now to take a moment to breathe, to be still. And maybe the most important thing that is said all morning in this space of worship is that you would hear the voice of God whisper in your heart, divine love. Will you take a moment to be still and to receive? May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you would please join me in today's call to worship. Mighty God, as we gather to worship you, we think of the past week's unexpected experiences, some joyful, others painful. Whatever brings us here, together we pray, may your kingdom come. Come, Holy Spirit, bring new life to our world. Merciful Lord, we bring before you family and friends who are sick, who are mourning the loss of loved ones, who are depressed, who are stressed about complicated work situations, and those whose lives seem a constant struggle. Despite daily suffering, we pray, may your kingdom come. Come, Holy Spirit, bring new life to our world. Lord of all creation, we look at the world around us as we come to worship you. Our world is filled with a growing pandemic, economic difficulties, racial tensions, poverty, and hunger. In the midst of all this, and with confidence in your redeeming power, we pray, may your kingdom come. Come, Holy Spirit, bring new life to our world.
Thank you. God, you are our God from the past, for today, and for tomorrow. We give you all praise and glory. We just thank you that you are here with us in this building. You're the same God who is also with those who are watching and listening. Again, we give you praise and honor and glory. For yours is the kingdom. Holy Spirit, bring new life to us and to our world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to that old familiar marker of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt. As your grace rolled down upon me, undeserved, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and his love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything he is. But the best way I can tell you is to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God.
God's been good to me.
The Old Testament reading for today is from Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. The voice of my beloved, look, he comes leaping up the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind a wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig trees puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. For those mourning and wondering how to do so in an age of physical distancing, we ask for your comfort, O God. As programs seem to fall short and funds seem to have limit, we ask for your generosity, O God. For people wondering how to respond and grappling with the difficulty of seeing others respond in a different way, we ask for your grace, O God. For those who have put their lives on the line to serve in the lineage of Christ, we ask for your strength, O God. For those wondering what the fall might hold or not hold, we ask for your faith, O God. For those bound by walls once called a home, now feeling like something else, we ask for your refuge, O God. For families who are kept apart, for the sake of safety, safety for the lung and yet difficulty upon the heart, we ask for your goodness. For those with broken hips and finally back at the organ seat, we ask for your strength. For those waiting, we ask for your patience. And as we ask for our breath not to penetrate the wall of a face mask, we ask that your breath never be held from us. For it is your breath that leads us to life. And so may your life, life everlasting and life now, be upon these, my friends, my brothers, and my sisters. May your life, beyond all human understanding, be with us. In the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, we pray together. Amen.
The gospel reading for today is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 through 19. But what will I compare to this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
the idea of combining the two services, for the most part, that means nobody wins, right? So we don't appear to play favorites for the early service true Christians, nor prefer the late service heathens. However, the trouble with having just one service is, for those of you in the early service, you know this. But for those of you in the late service, you don't know this. The trouble with having just one service is we don't know how bad my jokes are just yet. And this is one of the ministries that the early service provides for me. Most of them are fantastic. Isn't that right, early service brothers and sisters? May the Lord search our hearts and know them. All right, we're going to go off script for just a moment, and I want to do something that no one in here is going to like, and so we can all receive the same. If you would stand, and without touching another, maybe place your hands like this. I'm getting word right now that our friends on the other side of the internet are not obeying instructions. So friends, stand in your underwear, okay, all right, and you can hum along, all right, if you know the song, and you know, play along. Ring around the rosies, pocket full of posies, ashes, we all fall down. I saw some of you didn't spin, and that's a problem, but we'll address that later. Ring around the rosies, pockets full of posies, ashes, we all fall down. This, to me, sounds strikingly similar to our gospel lesson this morning. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. You know, I heard Hardy Clemens liked to dance. So you dance with him. Some of you, I see you shaking your heads. I understand that's one of the many ways in which he broke the mold of a Baptist pastor. And for this, we say, thanks be to God. You keep dancing, Hardy and Ardell. Ring around the rosies, pocket full of posies, ashes, we all fall down. It sounds a whole lot like the gospel lesson to me. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed for you and you did not mourn. We might file these words of red letter under strange sayings of the Savior. In short, this scripture and this nursery rhyme are eerie. They're eerie, aren't they? Ring around the rosies, remarkably, is global in its allure. It's always the kind of weird things that maybe aren't our best or our most complete works of art. It's always these things. It's always your strange cousin who becomes famous, okay? It's David Hasselhoff music. It's that level art that goes global. It's the things that are kind of not our best that go viral. It's a weird world that we live in. And cultures for centuries have adapted this nursery rhyme in all variety of forms, each with its own spin, okay? Some are shorter, some are longer. Most involve a curtsy at the end and not falling to the ground, okay? At our house, we practice the complete crash and burn all the way down. Did you like my curtsy, by the way? I have no idea. I did not practice that. So we're like back to the early service. That would be something I correct for the late service later. Legend has it that in the Second Great World War, it is this nursery rhyme that began to be interpreted through the events of the bubonic plague and the Black Death that swept across our world, killing 50 million or maybe more. The historicity and the reliability of such an interpretation are debated and widely disputed. However, I find the connection at least interesting. I can't help but to wonder, and I imagine that you're with me, what is the ashes we all fall down? What is that all about? As with poker and with birthday songs, and you can only admit to one of those if you'd like. But as with poker and birthday song, each family, each house has its own spin, its own sort of house rules. And this is true, I believe, for the nursery rhyme as well. And so the variation most prominent at our home sometimes includes me. Okay, sometimes it includes Allison. It's yet to include Lainey. Often it includes a few toys, but always it includes Eva. Okay, and it goes a little something like this. Ring around the rosies, pockets full of posies. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Again, again, let's do it again. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the first 15 chapters of the Gospel of Matthew, the presentation builds to reveal Jesus as the Messiah, the promised King. And as this Galilean with his ragtag entourage has been healing and teaching and hosting, the campaign events that he has, often near water, reveal that the polls about him are mixed. It seems as though the crowd did not much prefer his first campaign manager, John the Baptist, nor does the crowd much recognize Jesus of Nazareth as the heir apparent to the splendor and to the majesty of the throne of David. I mean, look at him. He's short. See previous heretical sermons preached here. He's short, in my opinion. He walks a lot, doesn't ride a stallion. He spends a significant balance of his time with blue-collar, illiterate fishermen, tax collectors, and prostitutes. Jesus of Nazareth is neither stately, kingly, or priestly. The crowd said, "Dance." And he didn't. Expectations told a Messiah to pray at this point and in this way and at this time, and he didn't. Tradition said, kiss these babies in these ways at these photo ops. And well, you get the point, he didn't. In December 2008, Joshua Bell sold out a music hall in Boston with seats averaging over $100 per seat. Just a few days later, the famous musician took an old baseball cap and his $3.5 million violin to the subway in Washington, D.C., and outside of the trains for 45 minutes, he played music's finest. And incredibly, he earned $32 in tips. You go, Joshua. And he earned one acclaimed fan, a young 3-year-old boy, who at the end of each piece would say, again, again, again. And after a short time, this only fan was dragged away by his mother to catch the subway. Later, it was revealed that this was actually part of a sociological experiment attempting to measure the impact of expectations and contexts. You see, the story of Jesus as a whole breaks with conventional boundaries, expectations, and places divinity right into a wonderfully mundane context. Let me say it again. The story of Jesus as a whole breaks with all conventional boundaries and expectations and places divinity in a wonderful and mundane context. And so do you. You break the mold, each of you. There is always more than that which meets the eye. You are more, each of you are more than external expectations. You are wonderful and you are mundane, and the whole thing is wrapped up in skin. There is always more than that which is coming from the exterior. There is always more than what a particular stage might have available. Friends, the gospel, I believe, in one essence is, there is always more. Recently I received a Facebook message, which normally I'm not good to check at all. So if you've ever messaged me on Facebook and I've never answered it, it's because I don't normally answer them. However, and I find that particularly true in an election year, the message I received this week was from someone in our community. And the message read, stop preaching that justice garbage. Okay. And over the years in ministry, I've received a fair share of input and feedback based upon my sermons and other things. Intro to the sermon 2 weeks ago is included in that little collection there. I've received all sorts of emails and notes and whatever, and normally I wouldn't ever read them to you. However, it just worked perfectly this week. The message said, stop preaching that justice garbage. And all I heard was, we sang for you and you did not dance. The message says, stop preaching that justice garbage. And all I can sing in my heart of hearts is, ring around the rosies, pockets full of posies. I don't preach and I don't live, hopefully, in a way to massage your expectations or anyone's expectations of me, hopefully. And I pray that you don't live, that you don't pray, that you don't preach in such a way as to meet anyone else's expectations. Let those external, unhealthy, unagreed upon, let those expectations turn to ashes and ashes and fall to the ground. We all have these forms thrust upon us, don't we? In your work, in your school, even in our families. You know, an accountant is supposed to wear clothes like this. A mom is supposed to drive this kind of car. A youth pastor is supposed to only have two dogs, not three. Good little boys play this sport, and good little girls wear these clothes. We all encounter, as we live, these external expectations. For example, at age 10, Derek Black in Florida began writing code and maintaining a website for his father, which saw 300,000 users per year. Derek's father, as you may well know, was a former grandmaster of the Ku Klux Klan. He was friends with prominent white nationalists, for example, David Duke, who is his mother's ex-husband. Many of these adults informally recognized young Derek as the heir apparent to the white nationalist movement with specific regard to his ability to pass, right? He could appear mainstream, and they thought that this young individual might take their ideologies in such a way to the public in which it could be consumed and spread. Derek and his father hosted a radio show. And even when Derek went off to college to study history, in the mornings he would get up early and do the radio show with his father. And then after completing this 3-hour-long hate speech, he would then go about his day as a regular college student. And it was there at college that he began making friends with all manner of students. In fact, found himself dating a young lady of Jewish faith. And it was these relationships that began to test the expectations that had been thrust upon him by his family. He found himself sitting at Shabbat dinners praying for peace. And as you can imagine, over the years, this provided considerable strain between Derek and his family of origin. And eventually, Derek abandoned his bigoted beliefs and he renounced that way of living. Can you imagine the tension at the Thanksgiving table? It might be a little bit more awkward than what you and I are accustomed to at the holiday setting. Derek Black was not held to the expectations that he inherited through his family and through his community. We are all more, right, than our last name. We are all more than what your family may or may not think about you. And the good news is, here's what I think is really incredible. If you happen to think anything is incredible about the sermon, I happen to think this point is. We are all more than our last names. We're all more than our families of origin. And this is true for the good and for the bad. If your last name is something you celebrate, if your family of origin is something you celebrate, if what you have inherited from your community is something that is to be considered good, is something that you celebrate, you are even still more than that. Oh, that is such good news, isn't it? You may be the recipient of unhealthy expectations, and you may also have unhealthy expectations of another. And my suspicion is we all here and all globally, we all are a wonderful mundane mixture of the two. We all are receiving unhealthy expectations. We are all projecting unhealthy expectations. And the good news is we all have a lot of work to do. Christ received the cross. Christ received the brokenness of the world. The Messiah, the Son of David, the King, lived simply and was put to death. By every account of expectations at the time, Christ was a failure. And the sun set, and the sun rose. And the sun set, and then the sun rose that Easter morning. And as the resurrected Christ rose, we see a new level of more. A level of more that can only come from the inside. A level of more that can only come from the very beginning. And it was in the very beginning that God took you, that God took creation, that God took all of us and breathed likeness, breathed what we call the image of divinity, breathed what we also call Christ into our very beings. You see, you are more than your last name. You are more than your profession. You are more than any exterior expectations that have been thrust upon you. And they may sing and play, and you don't have to dance. And they may wail and bring you in, usher you, suck you into the drama, and you don't have to participate. Because what is most true about you is that there is divinity deep within you. The image of God, the Spirit of Christ is deep within you, and that's what's first, and that's what's most true about you. And when we live according to these internal expectations, each morning as the sun rises, we have the privilege to live according to true life, which is deep within us, again and again and again. Let's pray together. Remove that which is external from us, O God. Remind us of that which is most true. Convict us of our projections against one another. Bring a new level of awareness to ourselves and to our communities. whisper within us always and again of your life, of your love, of your grace, and of your joy. May that reverb within our souls and our bodies. May that cause us to sing and dance together always. In the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, we pray together. Amen. I invite you to continue to respond, to worship, and to consider all that God has for us. Amen.
Join me in prayer. Gracious and loving God, it seems as though we are diverse in the fact of what should or shouldn't be said from this podium. Having attended this church for 60 years, I have this opinion about who we pray to, and that is that you are the giver of life, the source of all knowledge, the enlightener of minds, the fountain of goodness, the refuge of good and wise persons in every generation. We come today with a faith and a hope that you will enable us to offer all that we are and all that we have to further the work of your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to know with clarity we are able to be in this place of worship today as a result of all those through almost 2.5 centuries that have walked into hell for a heavenly cause. We commend unto you today our friend and former pastor, Dr. Hardy S. Clemons, the pastor we loved. We pray, O God, help us walk the path he taught us. We offer this prayer in the name of the sweet little Jesus boy. Well,
you, Marilyn. Glad to have you back. My friends, it's absolutely. It's an honor to gather with you and worship. I'm so grateful for you and for you wearing your mask and spreading out and being safe. And I pray for you as you go this week. If you'd rise, I'd like to just offer this blessing to you as you go. There is, we believe, a divine symphony reverbing within you, and it has been there before the beginning of all things. And may it be God's perfect, wonderful, beautiful symphony that causes you to dance, that causes you to mourn, and that causes you to live. Go in that peace. Amen.